Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So reading from Majjhalila chapter 5, texts 1 through 22. And, but first, this is the beginning of the chapter, so there's a summary. The activities of Sakshi Gopal. So I'll read that short summary, and then there's a couple of purports, mostly historical, references or of some sort, but given here, so we'll start with the fact. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur gives the following summary of the fifth chapter in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya. After passing through Yajapur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached the town of Cuttack, and there went to see the temple of Sakshi Gopal. While there, he heard the story of Sakshi Gopal from the mouth of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Once there were two brahmanas, one elderly and the other young, who were inhabitants of a place known as Vidyanagara. After touring many places of pilgrimage, the two brahmanas finally reached Vrindavan. The elderly brahman was very satisfied with the service of the young brahmana, and he wanted to offer him his youngest daughter in marriage. The young brahmana received the promise of his elder before the Gopal deity of Vrindavan. Thus, the Gopal deity acted as a witness. When both brahmanas returned to Vidyanagara, the younger brahmana raised the question of this marriage. But the elderly brahmana, due to obligations to his friends and wife, answered that he could not remember his promise. Because of this, the younger brahmana returned to Vrindavan and narrated the whole story to Gopalaji. Thus, Gopalaji, being obliged by the young man's devotional service, accompanied him to southern India. Gopalaji followed the younger brahmana, who could hear the tinkling sound of Gopalji's ankle bells. When all the respectable gentlemen of Vidyanagara were assembled, Gopalji testified to the promise of the elderly brahmana. Thus the marriage was performed. Later, the king of that country constructed a fine temple for Gopal. Afterwards, King Purushottam of Orissa was insulted by the king of Cuttack, who refused to give him his daughter in marriage and called him a sweeper of Lord Jagannath. With the help of Lord Jagannath, King Purushottam fought the king of Cuttack and defeated him. Thus he took charge of both the king's daughter and the state of Cuttack as well. At that time, Gopalji, being very much obliged by the devotional service of King Purushottam, was brought to the town of Cuttack. After hearing this narration, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Gopal in great ecstasy of love of God. From Cuttack, he went to Bhubaneswar and saw the temple of Lord Shiva. In this way, he gradually arrived at Kamalapur, and on the banks of the Bargi River, he came to the temple of Lord Shiva, where he entrusted his sannyas staff to Nityananda Prabhu. However, Nityananda Prabhu broke the staff into three pieces and threw it into the Bargi River at a place known as Ataranala. Being angry at not getting his staff back, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the company of Nityananda Prabhu and went alone to see the Jagannath temple. Okay, now we will begin reading the verses. Prabhyam chalanyak pratima swarupo brahmanya devo hi shata hagamyam deshang yayo viprakrite ked bhuteham tang sakshi gopalamahang natosmi. This is, yes. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of God, Brahmanya Deva, who appeared as Sakshi Gopal to benefit a Brahmana. For 100 days he traveled through the country, walking on his own legs. Thus his activities are wonderful. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chalite chalite aila yajapura gram varaha thakura dekhi karila pranam. Walking and walking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his party finally arrived at Yajapur on the river Vaitarani. There he saw the temple of Varahadev and offered his obeisances unto him. Nritya Gita Kaila Preme Bahuta Stavana Yajapure Se Ratri Karila Yapana. In the temple of Varahadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in chanting and dancing and offering prayers. He passed that night in the temple. Katake Aila Sakshi Gopala Dekite Gopala Saundarya Dehi Dekhi Haila Anandite. Afterwards, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the town of Cuttack to see the temple of the witness Gopal. When he saw the deity of Gopal, he was very much pleased with his beauty. Prema Veshe Nritya Gita Kaila Katakshana Avishtahaya Kaila Gopala Stavana. While there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in chanting and dancing for some time, and being overwhelmed, he offered many prayers to Gopal. Se ratri tahan rahi bhakta gana sange gopalera purva katha shune bahurange. That night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in the temple of Gopal, and along with all the devotees, he heard the narration of the witness Gopal with great pleasure. Nityananda Goshai Yabe Tirta Brahmila Sakshi Gopal Dekhi Bhare Kataka Aila. Previously, when Nityananda Prabhu had toured all over India to see different places of pilgrimage, he also had come to see Sakshi Gopal at Cuttack. Sakshi Gopalera Katha Shuni Loka Muke Se Katha Kohena Prabhu Shune Mahasuke. At that time, Nityananda Prabhu had heard the story of Sakshi Gopal from the townspeople. He now recited this again, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the narration with great pleasure. Purport. The Sakshi Gopal temple is situated between the Khurda Road Junction Railway Station and the Jagannath Puri station. The deity is not presently situated in Cuttack, but when Nityananda Prabhu traveled there, the deity was present. Cuttack is a town in Orissa situated on the Mahanadi River. When Sakshi Gopal was brought from Vidyanagar in southern India, he stayed for some time at Cuttack. Thereafter, he was situated for some time in the Jagannath temple. It seems that in the temple of Jagannath there was some disagreement between Jagannath and Sakshi Gopal, a disagreement called Prema Kalaha, a quarrel of love. In order to settle this love quarrel, the king of Orissa constructed a village about 6 miles from Jagannath Puri. The village was called Satyavadi, and Gopal was stationed there. Thereafter, a new temple was constructed. Now there is a Sakshi Gopal station, and people go there to see the witness Gopal. Purve Vidya Nagare Rera Duita Brahmana Tirtha Karibhare Dunghe Karila Gamana. Formerly at Vidyanagar in South India, there were two brahmanas who made a long tour to see different places of pilgrimage. Gaya Varanasi Prayag Sakala Kariya Maturate Aila Dunghe Anandita Haya. First of all, they visited Gaya, then Kashi, then Prayag. Finally, with great pleasure, they came to Mathura. Vana yatraya vana dekhi dekhe govardhana dvadasha vana dehi dekhi sheshe gila vrindavan. After reaching Mathura, they started visiting the different forests of Vrindavan and came to Govardhan Hill. They visited all 12 forests, vanas, and at last came to the town of Vrindavan. Purport. The five forests situated on the eastern side of the river Yamuna are Bhadra, Bilva, Loha, Bandira, and Mahavana. The seven forests situated on the western side of the Yamuna are Madhu, Tala, Kumuda, Bahula, Kamya, Kadira, and Vrindavan. After visiting all these forests, these pilgrims went to a place known as Panchakroshi Vrindavan. Out of the 12 forests, the Vrindavan forest extends from the town of Vrindavan up to Nandagram and Varshan, a distance of 32 miles, within which the Panchakroshi Vrindavan town is situated. Vrindavane Govinda Stane Mahadevalaya Seyamandire Gopalera Mahasevahaya. In the village of Panchakroshi Vrindavan, at the site where the Govinda temple is now situated, there was a great temple where gorgeous worship of Gopal was performed. Keshi Tirtha Kaliya Hridadike Kaila Snana Sri Gopala Dekhitahan Karila Vishrama. After taking baths at different bathing places along the river Yamuna, such as Keshi Ghat and Kaliya Ghat, the pilgrims visited the temple of Gopal. Afterwards, they took rest in that temple. Gopala Saundarya Dunghara Mana Nilahari Sukapaya Rahiti Tahan Dinat Duichari. The beauty of the Gopal deity stole away their minds, and feeling great happiness, they remained there for 2 or 4 days. Dui vipra madhye eka vipra vridha praya ara vipra yuvatanra karena sahaya. One of the two brahmanas was an old man and the other was young. The young man was assisting the old man, the old one. Chota vipra kare sada tanghara sevana Tanghara Sevaya Viprera Tushta Hoilaman. Indeed, the young brahmana always rendered service to the older one, and the old man, being very satisfied with his service, was pleased with him. Vipra bale tumi mora bahu seva koila sahaya haya more tirta karaila. The older man told the younger, "You have rendered various types of service to me. You have assisted me in traveling to all these places of pilgrimage." Putreo pitrara oiche nakore sevana tomara prasade ami napaila mashrama. Even my own son does not render such service. By your mercy, I did not become fatigued while on this tour. Kritagnata haya tomai nakaila samana. Atayeva tomaya ami diba kanyadhan. If I do not show you any respect, I will be ungrateful. Therefore, I promise to give you my daughter in charity. Chota vipra kahe shuna vipra mahashaya asambhava kaha kene ye nahi haya. The younger Brahmana replied, "My dear sir, please hear me. You are saying something very unusual. Such a thing never happens. Mahakulina tumi vidya danadi pravina ami akulina aradana vidyahina. You are a most aristocratic family man, well educated and very rich. I am not at all aristocratic, and I am without a decent education and have no wealth." Purport. Due to pious activities, one can be enriched by four opulences. One may obtain birth in an aristocratic family, become highly educated, become very beautiful, or get a sufficient quantity of riches. These are symptoms of pious activities performed in one's past life. In India, it is still current for an aristocratic family never to consider a marriage with a common family. Though the caste may be the same, to maintain the aristocracy, such marriages are rejected. No poor man will dare marry the daughter of a rich man. Because of this, when the elderly Brahmana offered the young Brahmana his daughter, the young Brahmana did not believe that it would be possible to marry her. Therefore, he asked the elderly Brahmana why he was proposing something unprecedented, asambhava. It was unheard of for an aristocratic person to offer his daughter to a person who was both uneducated and poor. Om jnanati mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Mukam kavati vachalam pangam langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande sri gurum dinataranam. Jaya sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the beginning of this beautiful and remarkable story of Sakshi Gopal, the witness deity, who came to the at the behest of his devotee to protect him from embarrassment and from the broken promise of this older Brahmana. So there's a many things that can be learned from this. One thing which I did want to say is where we are now in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is he's begun traveling, and basically his activities in his tour while he's traveling are the same everywhere he goes, chanting and dancing. So that is the Lord's example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his example to all devotees, that the process of Krishna consciousness is very simple, which is chanting, dancing, and philosophy. The story of Sakshi Gopal is like hearing philosophy or pastimes of the Lord, Leela. So these are our real activities in Krishna consciousness, our main activities. Everything is based on this process, hearing, chanting, dancing, chanting, feasting, philosophy, as Srila Prabhupada taught us. Chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy. Everywhere we go, devotees, we chant, we dance, we take prasadam, and we discuss philosophy. And by doing this, we are reading or hearing yesterday in a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, that it's guaranteed that we will go back to Godhead. Very simple. It's guaranteed that we will go back to Godhead. Because these are the simple and pure activities of the devotee, of the Vaishnava. we will continue doing these same things in the spiritual world. So for an advanced devotee, actually what he's doing here in this material world, as we see by the example of Lord Chaitanya, that he was experiencing so many later in this narration, and prior to that we read about his ecstatic symptoms and his ecstasy of love of God. So it's not that one has to be necessarily in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha or Goloka to experience all of these flavors of devotional service, because the same activities that we do here are going on there. So one can experience them even in the present body, the physical body. And so that is the example of the Lord, and it's the example of all of the acharyas, and of course particularly our founder acharya, Srila Prabhupada. What did Prabhupada do? He simply came to America, he sat down in a park and chanted Hare Krishna. And from that chanting, the whole Hare Krishna movement started. Chanting and dancing. He taught us how to dance, how to chant, he taught us how to cook, how to eat prasadam. He taught us the philosophy. So these are our main activities. And, of course, another part of that is preaching. Of course, this is not the subject matter here of these verses, but Lord Chaitanya, as he traveled through different parts of India, he also preached, giving Krishna consciousness to others. But what did he preach? He preached, become a devotee of Krishna. Become Krishna conscious, develop your love for God, Jivara Swarupahoya, Krishnera Nityadas, we're all the eternal servants of Krishna. And what are the activities of the eternal servant of Krishna? Chanting Hare Krishna, dancing, taking prasadam. So it's like this revolving, eternal revolving circle that goes around. It never ends. It's not leading to something else. The end and the means, or the means and the end, are the same in Krishna consciousness. So here, the story of Sakshi Gopal, Nityananda Prabhu, and his previous travels in India, was in this town of Cuttack, and heard the story of Sakshi Gopal. And it begins here now by the description of the two brahmanas, one an elderly brahmana and the other a younger brahmana. And as is the etiquette, the younger brahmana serves the older brahmana. Just as in Krishna consciousness, the younger devotee serves the older devotee, or the disciple serves the guru. So this very important etiquette here that we can learn from this story, that we advance in our spiritual service, in our consciousness, in our every way in our spiritual life, by serving the seniors, the senior devotees. It's not necessary that they have to be a pure devotee. Obviously here this older brahmana may or may not have been a pure devotee, but the younger brahmana, his attitude was, I'm going to serve this older brahmana in order to please Krishna. He didn't think that I'm not going to serve this old man, this old guy, what am I wasting my time? I'm just going to serve Krishna, travel on my own, or serve some deity somewhere. That wasn't his attitude. His attitude was, by serving this elder brahmana, devotee of Krishna, I will advance in spiritual life, because that will please Krishna. That is our philosophy in Krishna consciousness. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayor Dasa Das Das Anudas. We're the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, who are the servants of the gopis who serve Krishna. In one, I forget this book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes some of his deeper spiritual realizations and his eternal identity as Ananga. Is it Ananga Manjari? In any case, he describes that while entering into trance, he saw his spiritual body. And in that spiritual body, he was directed to the service of assisting various gopis in their service to Radha and Krishna. What is it? Oh, Kamala Gopi. Yeah, maybe that's it. And the point that I'm making there is even Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Nitya Siddha, one of our acharyas, so we might think, oh, he must be a direct servant of the Lord, but in his spiritual identity, he was one of the gopis who was assisting one of the main gopis, I forget who, in their service to Radha and Krishna. So in the spiritual world, again, this same mentality that we are trying to develop here in serving other Vaishnavas is exists in the spiritual world. Those who are servants of the servants of the servants of the gopis, who are the direct servants of Krishna, the Ashtasakhis, they are very happy in their service. They're not thinking, well, when I get the chance, I'm going to bump this person off out of that position and I'm going to take that position. This is the material mentality, that I'll get that position and then I'll get more recognition and adoration and whatever the case may be. This is the material mentality. But the spiritual mentality is the more I can become the servant of the Vaishnavas, the more I'll please Krishna and the happier I will be. Yeah. And that's the attitude that will help us to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly also. Tarnadapi sunichena, taroarapi sahishnuna, amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. Humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect unto others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So this is one of the things that we can learn from this story at this point, is that this younger brahmana realized, understood that he is not the direct servant of Krishna, but he is better off serving the servant of Krishna. And because of that, later on we'll see in the next few verses, the Lord becomes obliged to his devotional service. As described, I think we read that. The Lord becomes obliged to his devotional service, to the brahmana, to the elderly brahmana. And on account of that, the rest, as the rest of the story goes, he becomes the witness for this brahmana. But now, here at this point in the story, after rendering all of this service, and you can imagine, of course, I've never traveled through India, but when it gets hot in Gainesville, I can imagine what it must be like traveling in India on foot. There are no trains. There were some kind of carts that you could drive in, bullock carts or whatever. But it's hot. It's sunny. It's humid. There's not a lot of relief that you can get while traveling on these dirt roads from one place to another, mile after mile. But apparently this younger brahmana rendered such nice service to the older brahmana that he, the older brahmana, felt no fatigue whatsoever. So the brahmana, the older brahmana, felt that he should reward the younger brahmana. Naturally, he felt he should give something. And for some reason, without consideration of certain social status, he decided he would give his daughter, the hand of his daughter, to the older brahmana. However, this posed a little bit of a problem, because even though amongst Vaishnavas, sometimes these are not considerations higher caste, lower caste, etc., or material position. For advanced Vaishnavas, these things are not always considered. In the circumstances of India at that time, these two Vaishnava Brahmanas, the younger Brahmana made this consideration that it was not proper for the older Brahmana to give his daughter in hand to him in marriage due to that social structure, because the Vaishnava culture, we have, you know, our institution of ISKCON. We don't consider all these things. We have thousands of devotee, ISKCON devotees all over the world. We're like almost a civilization within society. So we don't consider all these things. But to the outside world, amongst the brahmanas and the caste brahmanas and the others, sometimes they don't understand when we do things like not make considerations in marriage, or sometimes even, you know, there's mixed marriages in ISKCON, Indian devotees marrying Western devotees, or vice versa, you know, men, women from different countries marrying. This is not generally acceptable in the normal Vedic culture, but as far as devotees are concerned, we don't see the body as a hindrance to service to Krishna. Because the real basis of marriage is service to Krishna. And that could be a discussion, a whole discussion here. When Srila Prabhupada began giving marriages in ISKCON very early on in ISKCON, very early, from even sometimes new devotees, he would marry them at the same time that he gave them initiation. But the principle of the marriage was to serve the Guru and Krishna. It didn't matter social status, high, low, black, white, American, Indian. The function of the marriage was to, together, the husband and wife, serve the order of the spiritual master and serve Krishna. But again, the point being that outsiders don't understand this, particularly in the Brahmana caste. They don't understand this. Some leeway is there in the Vedic literatures, Vedic system, and I'm not exactly sure of the details where some Brahmanas can marry different caste under certain circumstances, and kings can marry, like the kings can marry the wives of very sadhus and sages. That happens sometimes in the Mahabharata. There's so many stories like that in Srimad Bhagavatam. But generally, castes married amongst each other. But here, even though they were the same caste, there was a difference, a consideration. The older Brahmana was apparently more educated and aristocratic and also wealthy, whereas the younger Brahmana was uneducated and not aristocratic and poor. Now in the Bhagavatam there's there's an interesting history, just as a sidebar there, that I had, based on what I said earlier, of Devahuti marrying Kardama Muni. And he was a hermit living in the forest, practicing meditation. I mean, from the point of view, material point of view, he wasn't really aristocratic. He was certainly educated at least as far as Vedic knowledge was concerned, perhaps not on other material subject matters. And he was poor, lived in a little hut, thatched hut in the forest. So from the material qualification, he was really unfit to marry Devahuti, who's the daughter of Manu, who is she, the daughter? Swayambhuva Manu, yes, the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, one of the rulers of the universe. Obviously, he was very aristocratic, being one of the rulers of the universe, one of the Manus, the lawgivers of the mankind, and had great opulence and kingdoms and power, prestige. He was also a Vaishnava, but he gave his daughter, Devahuti, the great princess, beautiful Devahuti, to this this poor sage in the forest, Kardama Muni. So there is an instance where that can take place. But in this particular circumstance, this younger Brahma did not feel it appropriate for the older Brahmana to give his daughter in to him. And immediately when he heard this, he felt that something's wrong here. This can't be, this is not the usual course of activities, and nor people don't do these things, give their aristocratic people giving their daughters to poor Brahmins. So he began to have this doubt in the older Brahmana's offering. And as the story proceeds, due to that doubt that he had, he requested the Brahmana that you make your promise in front of the deity, please. So even though he was uneducated, he was poor, not aristocratic, but he was intelligent. He had a little bit of foresight or farsight that something amiss could happen here. He didn't have complete faith in the older Brahmana's word. He thought that maybe something could happen and he wouldn't be able to keep his word. And as long as he gave the word to give his daughter that he promised, so that promise needed to be kept. So it's not that the younger Brahmana was attached to getting married to this particular older Brahmana's daughter, but the promise was there. Vedic civilization, your word is as good as yourself. Your word is extremely important. So he did not want to embarrass himself, and also, perhaps as a service attitude toward the older Brahmana, he did not want the older Brahmana to be embarrassed either. So he requested that he make this promise in front of the deity, and that way the deity could be a witness to the offering of his daughter's hand in marriage. We have in our Nectar of Devotion all these principles of deity worship, 64 principles of worship. And there's all kinds of things in there which are nice to go over because we sometimes forget them. Like we're not supposed to cry in front of the deity, you're not supposed to argue in front of the deity, you're not supposed to chastise anyone in front of the deity, you're not supposed to wear certain colors like bright red and I think blue maybe in front of the deity, you're not supposed to pass air in front of the deity. All of these rules and regulations are there for what to do in front of the deity. So it is a custom, at least here in this circumstance, we can see that that once you make a vow in front of the deity, we have to remember Krishna is standing actually before us as the deity. You give your word of honor, you give your promise to someone before the deity, then you have to keep it. The deity is the witness. And later on we find out, of course, that the older Brahmana reneges on his promise and saying that he forgot. And of course this was all due to the influence of his son and wife. And this is exactly what the younger Brahmana thought would happen, and that's what happened. So as the story goes, we'll find out. We'll hear little by little in the next few weekends. So So, not much philosophy in the, because these are pastimes, stories, and histories. And we try to draw out some meaning from it, how we can apply these things in our own lives, and or just to relish the pastimes. But it's not like, it's not really deep philosophical concepts about the absolute truth that we're hearing here. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? I'm sure. Yes, go ahead.
Just one thought about the older Brahmin. By inference, we can see what his household life was like a little bit. He was rich, but yet his wife and son wasn't particularly devotionally inclined. But yet he's now the older Brahmin. He went on pilgrimage without them, and he's probably experiencing quite a bit of wonderfulness, just being in Krishna consciousness without having the money and the family members that are in a different mood than he's in. So he's thinking, generally one has a son, they call the son Putra, someone who's going to deliver me. And being humble, the older Brahmin can see, you know, that I've done so many things in the name of business, and I've got myself surrounded by these different personalities. If this son here, if he can become my son-in-law, and then I'll have association again, I'll be able to talk about Krishna with somebody, because so many families, you can't talk about Krishna. The husband and wife don't have the same interests. So there's quite a bit of limitations. So you could see that just one thought about how he offered his daughter. He's thinking, I'm going to hook up with him, because what is money anyway? If you run through the Saranagati prayers by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one gets older, he sees what is the use. Kim Asat Karma Bir Bhavet, what is the use of all this? And he's thinking, here's a great opportunity now. If I have this son here, because he did mention that you're even nicer than my own son. You've taken care of me like he's never have. So he's not thinking of losing that situation. Plus, it's connected to Krishna that this is for my benefit. So it's just something inferred. I'm not 100% right if they said that or not, but just a thought.
Yeah, that's a nice, very nice point. Really nice point. Yeah, traveling to all the holy places, and he became a little purified. But as sometimes happens, he got carried away. He didn't realize that when he would go back to his old situation, that
maybe he did. That's why he realized, if I go back, I don't want to.
Yeah, we're kind of deducing things here, but it's kind of makes sense.
So it's you give a nice lecture, and it's a very interesting pastime, which illustrates a lot of points, and one of them is truthfulness, right? And, I hear a lecture, Srila Prabhupada's commenting in this pastime, and then Prabhupada says in a very funny way, he says, this is the pastime where Krishna was defeated, you know, because the Brahmana told him, you know, he promised, the old man promised, so you have to come, you have to do the weakness. And the deity, Gopal deity says, I can't walk, you know, I'm a deity. He said, no, you're talking, if you're talking, you can walk, so let's go. So like that. But it's a very, very, very important pastime how the deity is no different from Krishna. That's our whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. You know, the devotee is developing a great attachment to serve the Lord in the form of the deity, and they know it's no different from Krishna with the holy name. Anyway, we can see later on in the pastime how Prabhupada explains. very nicely.
The deity is not different from Krishna. Yes.
Yes. Many years before, when I went to Jagannath Puri temple, have darshan of Jagannath, and there is also Sakshi Gopal temple inside.
Oh.
And today I just come to know.
Oh.
And that time the Panda was telling me that when Puri king installed the deity of Sakshi Gopal inside the Jagannath Puri temple, and whatever they offer to Lord Jagannath, Sakshi Gopal will come and eat it before Jagannath start to eat and everything. So Jagannath was suffering for many, many days, like not getting enough to eat. So then Jagannath came in the dream of Puri king. He said, what, you brought him from Vrindavan? You know, he's a visitor, he came from Vrindavan and he's eating all my offering and I'm not getting enough to eat. So then they send, they move Sakshi Gopal like 6-7 miles away from Puri temple, and then Jagannath is having enough to eat.
So that's the story.
That is the story, and today I heard in the Prabhupada mention in the purport there's a thing. And another point, in South India, still there is a place, there's a temple, I don't remember exactly, that people, when they have argument or like a court case, court system, they still go to the temple, the temple priest will sort out the problem in front of the deity.
Mm.
Like somebody borrow money, something, and in front of the deity they will do that. Still they do that today, after many, many hundreds of years.
Yeah.
After still they follow the same system.
Anyone else would like to say something?
You were talking about how devotion in the devotional service practice of Krishna consciousness, in the beginning we do it because we want to be relieved from the sufferings of material life, but ultimately it becomes just selfless service, and we don't care if we're serving Krishna directly or we just want to serve his servants. Can you talk about how one progresses from that first stage to the second, and how much, do we find that balance and the patience within ourselves to make that change progressively and properly?
Interesting question. I'm not sure that I've reached that stage myself, and I can really speak on it very well, but how to get the attitude of being the servant of the devotees,
how much should we just be patient with ourselves and not worry so much, I'm not feeling that, just want to be a servant, and I know for me also, I want to just be delivered from the material world. That's my primary motivation at this point. So how much do we just be patient with that and not worry about it so much, and how much do we try to kick ourselves to move on from that?
I can't speak for somebody else. For each individual person has to come to that realization on their own. When it comes and how it comes, is it something that you have to cultivate? Because I see sometimes devotees for many years chanting and et cetera, but who don't have, not to be critical, but who don't have an attitude like that yet or developed yet, whereas some people can come and immediately have that attitude. Like, it's always the example of Jayananda, always ready to serve any devotees. But I think it's a conscious cultivation. I don't think it's something we can just wait to happen. Like bing, one day it's just gonna, come into the light will go off in our head. Oh yeah, I'm a servant of all of the devotees. I mean, we do depend on Krishna to remove the ignorance and illusion in our mind. But we do have to, as I said, chant with a humble state of mind. So how to develop that humility, not artificially, yet we do have to cultivate it to understand that I'm the servant of the servant. And part of that, like another example, is Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He, at big festivals, he would always go around, serve the devotees prasadam. Whether he was Ghanasham Das Brahmachari or Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he would always enjoy serving prasadam to the devotees. So sometimes it takes some practice, and you'll find that if you just do some humble service for the devotees, initially you may feel, oh, I really don't want to do this, but you just do it, and the realization comes. And Krishna somehow blesses you and gives you a realization and makes you feel happy. So we tend to feel that I'm only going to be happy when my purpose is served. And we haven't gotten used to, that's our original disease, obviously, that I want to be happy. Of course, as devotees, we do want to be happy. The original disease is we want to be happy without Krishna, but it's still the enjoying spirit. And we're not here necessarily to enjoy Krishna consciousness in one sense. There's a nice example of Prabhupada on a morning walk. I think I've said this before. And one devotee, they just came out of a big kirtan, and devotees are on a walk with Prabhupada, and one disciple says, Prabhupada, that was such an ecstatic kirtan. I enjoyed it so much. And Prabhupada said, you are not the enjoyer of the kirtan. Krishna is the enjoyer of the kirtan. So we are the enjoyer, but we give the enjoyment to Krishna, and then we become the enjoyer secondarily. So the same would go for serving the devotees. Especially if you have a guru, you know, and he's present, and you can do some service to him, like those who, when we serve Prabhupada personally, it was such great pleasure to serve Srila Prabhupada. It was selfless. I was watching one of the following Srila Prabhupada videos the other day in Gainesville. We were watching, and this devotee was describing the mood of preparing the first Rath Yatra for Prabhupada to come to in San Francisco, the first Rath Yatra. And he was describing that our whole attitude is that there was no question of not pleasing Prabhupada. You know, it's not. Nobody was lazy. Nobody was thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. I'll do this. But everyone did whatever needed to be done to please Prabhupada, to have that first Rath Yatra, whatever. And there were devotees who didn't sleep for days, just working on the carts or building the carts. The devotee Gaur Hari was the cook, had to cook, prepare prasadam for 5,000 people. I've never cooked for 5,000 people. I don't even know what that's like, cooking for 5,000. But I can tell you it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of hours, and you probably lost some sleep. So that kind of self-sacrifice, there's no enjoyment in self-sacrifice. It's a tapasya, like the tapasya of the yogis or the tapasvis in India. They perform these heavy austerities. They get the result, some Brahman realization perhaps. But for a devotee, that tapasya is pleasure, because he knows that the goal is to please Prabhupada or my guru or Krishna. So it is a matter of practice, and we did learn that in those days by practicing, by understanding and by practicing practically how to render service to the Vaishnavas. We were engaged in that way. That was the philosophy. So it takes some practice, I think, some effort, and then the realization comes at the same time, and you feel pleasure in rendering service to the Vaishnavas. Madan Mohan.
I was noticing how you were paraphrasing one verse after another verse from the Bhagavad Gita when you were saying that, and the first one that came to my mind is be happy by sacrifice. Yeah. So then what's sacrifice culminates in knowledge. And then there's 435 was, so now you have happiness and knowledge by doing sacrifice. And another name for sacrifice is yajna, is it? Vishnu. And Vishnu and sacrifice are non-different, so you're associating with Krishna through doing that. And then at the 435, when you have the spiritual master, you know the truth, that's 34. And then 35 says, you know that all beings are in me or mine. So you're acting constitutionally correct. And one who practices this Bhagavad Gita or teaches it to his devotees, he's the most dear there is to Krishna. So it was just one after another, all the things that you were saying are just different verses that you've assimilated from the Bhagavad Gita, explaining it, just how one becomes happy by sacrifice, gets knowledge by sacrifice, pleases Krishna, who's non-different from sacrifice. Very nice thing.
Well, thank you for making me appear more knowledgeable than I am. There's another verse, though, which is not from the Bhagavad Gita, and this is spoken by Lord Shiva to Parvati. Aradhanam sarvesham, Vishnur aradhanam param. What's the rest? Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. So tadiyanam is translated sometimes as paraphernalia, but the actual translation Prabhupada gives is that the devotee, and the verse means that Shiva tells Parvati that of all the worship of Lord Vishnu is supreme. But even higher worship than worship of Vishnu is worship of the Lord's devotees. So that's the Vedic understanding. And I think we have to end now. Quickly. Quick.
Prabhu, I would like to thank you for that question that you asked. Because yesterday I was thinking that. I was thinking what you were saying. I was really tired and everything. And so I was thinking, wow, am I just doing it for my own self and everything? But thank you for the answer, too.
Okay,
you know, you answered my question.
It's a good question. The answer, it's a good question. Good subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good subject matter. Hare Krishna. Thank you.